No, we're not. Before we start another book study, I want to show you something this morning. it's a truth that help you learn maybe a little bit more about why the Bible, some of the Bible is written the way it is, but it's very practical. If I are going to disobey God. I hate to start it off like that after hearing all the kids sing and everything like that, you know. But if you're going to disobey God, it's going to be because probably somebody or something you care about is influencing you to do that. I mean, it's one thing to disagree or. You know, somebody doesn't have a lot of influence in your life. You know, it's one thing for them to have an opinion, but if you or I are going to disobey God, a clear direction from God, it's going to be because somebody we care about is pulling us to do that in general. I'm going to show you something in Paul's life, and this is another one of these, I don't know, just like Wednesday, I just got the little card here for the sermon notes. But I want to show you something in Paul's life. Paul wrote much of the New Testament. And Paul, from the day he got saved, and I say that getting saved, trusting in God's righteousness in Jesus Christ is not going to church, it's not getting baptized, it's trusting the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection, and looking forward to his second coming. He's coming again. Otherwise, all this doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't make any difference. And so, but Paul, from the time he got saved, I mean, he loved his nation. He loved Israel. And he loved the people that he had grown up with. He loved his kinsmen. He loved his brethren. I mean, he loved the people that were a member of his nation. And he would say in Romans, he said, "You know, I would wish myself accursed for my kinsmen. I really, if it would just mean that I had to go to hell so that." My brothers and sisters in Israel would get saved. He said, I would do it. I'd do it. That's how much he cared for them. Now, let me show you where to go. Acts chapter 20 is where we'll start. Oftentimes, it's not a bad relationship or an inordinate affection that draws you away. It may be a good relationship. It may be something that God wants. I mean, it may be a good relationship. But Paul's love was so strong for Israel. He's going to come to a point in his life where he blatantly disregards what God said because he is so concerned about his own people. And that's not a bad thing to care for people. It's not a bad thing to be concerned. But I've given you some introduction. Acts chapter 20, verse 16. We'll read a verse and we'll pray. And I really don't imagine this being very, very long. Of course, I hate to say that, but you know, I don't imagine it being very long because it's one point. And I imagine when we go over this, you can probably think of a relationship that it may not be a bad relationship, but somewhere in your life you're connected to someone that you really care about, and it causes you to make decisions directly contrary to what God said. And it, again, it may not be a bad relationship, but I want to show you what I mean here. Acts chapter 20, verse 16. Let's read a verse and then we'll pray. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So Paul wants to get to Jerusalem. He is determined. He wants to get to Jerusalem. Everywhere Paul went to preach, the first thing he would do is he would go find a synagogue, and he would go in the synagogue, and he would preach to the Jews. That's the first thing he would do everywhere he went. And his heart was with his own people, his nation. He's called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. I mean, he's gonna make known the gospel more in areas outside of Israel than any other apostle, really. But his heart is with it, the nation of Israel. Let's pray. And I want to talk to you about this theme. It's care that becomes more influential in your life than God's direct commandments. When care in your life for someone else overrides God's direct commandments, it's something you need to evaluate and something you need to consider. Not that you need to break off a relationship. If you're married, stay married. This is not about that. But there are things probably in your life that, because you care for somebody, you make decisions in direct contradiction to what God said. Let's pray, and we'll talk about that. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. I pray you'd help me. Pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I think this what we're going to talk about probably has application all over the room here. I don't know every scenario, but it's so common. It's so common. And I pray that you'd help us identify and address areas in our lives that are in disobedience, particularly because of people we care for. And I pray that it would be clear. It's not, maybe the relationship is not bad in itself, but it's having a bad influence. And the hearts of us, our hearts, are pulled in a direction that is contrary to you. And I pray that you'd help us understand and identify and address those areas. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 20, verse 16. I'll read it one more time. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So Paul wants to go to Jerusalem. He really, really wants to go to Jerusalem. And as I've given you the outline or the introduction, everywhere Paul went, he goes to a synagogue, he preaches to the Jews, because that's where his heart is. He loves his people. In fact, let me show you in Romans. I'll show you the verse I talked about at the beginning. Look in Romans chapter 9, and I'll give you these couple verses, and we'll come back to Acts. But Romans chapter 9, verse 1, here's what Paul says. Romans 9, 1. He lays it out there. He says, Romans 9, 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That's the verse I was telling you about a while ago. Romans 9, verse 3. So Paul has said, if it meant the salvation of my people, of my friends, the people I grew up with, if it meant their salvation, I would be willing to go to hell for that. That is the level of care Paul has and concern that he has. Now, that's not a bad concern. That's good. That's a worthy, noble, good, charitable, loving concern to want to see souls saved. That's good. That's good. But it's not good when God tells you specifically to do something and you use that care and concern and love to disobey what God told you to do. See, so I don't want you to get confused about the relationship isn't bad. The desire in his heart isn't bad. The motives he has to see people saved isn't wrong. But when it comes in conflict with what God's about to direct Paul to do, then it becomes misguided. Look in Acts chapter 20. You're in Acts chapter 20. Look in verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the message to everybody. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message. Then he says this, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. You might read that bound in the Spirit thing, say, hey, oh, that's good, that's the Holy Spirit. He's just working on Paul, and he's motivating Paul to serve God. And Paul is just bound and determined he's going to serve God no matter what. Paul is bound and determined he's going to go to Jerusalem no matter what. Not necessarily serve God, but he's going to go to Jerusalem. He says, now, verse 22, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You know what? You read that verse and you say, man, Paul is on it. He is doing the right thing. He is wanting to serve God even if it costs him his life. What Paul wants to do is go to Jerusalem, even if it costs him his life. His affection towards Israel and towards his people, that it almost sounds like when Paul says this to the folks he's saying this to, he's almost justifying or spiritualizing what he's doing. He said, I don't care if I die. God has already said I'm going to suffer persecution. God has already told me to preach the gospel. So if I go to Jerusalem and get persecuted, then, you know, it's just God's will that that's what's going to happen, because he's already told me it's going to happen. It's almost like he's trying to convince himself that what he's about to do is right. Look in Acts chapter 21. And verse 10. Now a preacher shows up, and he's going to tell Paul specifically, directly, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Prophet, he's just a preacher. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So here's what's happening. Paul, from Acts chapter 20, he wants to go to Jerusalem. He loves his people. And he has a noble, worthy cause. I want to preach the gospel. I imagine in Paul's mind, he has learned through the scriptures, he has learned now that Jesus Christ is the center of the whole thing. And his people, the Jews, are so close. They have the scriptures taught in every synagogue, every Sabbath. And if they could just Just understand, Jesus Christ is the point of the whole thing. If they could just get that, they'd understand. And Paul, I think he's just, it's just right there. If I could just get him to understand it. And so he's bound and determined, I'm going to Jerusalem. And while he's staying with Philip, a preacher shows up, and through the preacher, Paul gets told, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. In fact, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to jail. And here's what Paul says. Verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. That sounds noble. That sounds really noble, Paul. That sounds really noble. But you were just told by the Holy Ghost of God, don't go to Jerusalem. Verse 14, we've mentioned this verse before. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Wow. How could you say a guy going to Jerusalem to preach is not the will of God? How could you say a guy going to preach the gospel is not the will of God? How dare you say that? How could you say someone giving their lives to serve Jesus Christ is not the will of God? Well, it's the will of God, but that's the wrong place. That's not where I want you, Paul. And the reason the Lord says this is, it's not just to give him some worthless direction or instruction just to see what he'll do. The Lord's trying to warn him, look, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested and your ministry is going to suffer for this. If you get arrested, I mean, the Lord's going to be able to, he'll have to jump through some hoops at this point to make this thing work. You're going to put him in a position where he's going to have to, I say, rearrange what he's doing, but this isn't the will of God. So here's the point. So they stop saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now, I'm just going to address this thought here real quick. And I've said it 100 times, I'm sure, but more times than not in this life, the will of God is not done. If you think what you see around you is the will of God, I don't know what God you serve, but what's going on in the world, the way people act towards each other, this isn't the will of God. And when people say, I understand the thought that God is in control and all that kind of stuff, it's not really God is in control. God is the judge of everything. He doesn't control your mind. He doesn't make you do things. He doesn't make you hurt other people. He doesn't make you lust. He doesn't make you drink beer. He doesn't do that. You make choices to do that. He isn't controlling your thoughts. In fact, the activities of the world show God's not controlling very many people's thoughts. So when someone says, these folks gathered together say the will of the Lord, they stop saying the will of the Lord be done. You know why? Because they're going to give up. They understand Paul is going to do what Paul's going to do, and it doesn't matter what God says anymore. He's just going to do what he wants to do, and it's really... I want you to understand it. It's not that he wants to sin. It's not that he wants to do wrong. He wants to do right, but his connection to Israel is stronger than the will of God. His connection to his people is stronger than the commandments of God. He is more affected by his love for and his desire to see people saved than the will of God. And that sounds like isn't the will of God that everyone would be saved? Yeah, but you're not going to save everybody. And Paul, for your life, my will is that you avoid Jerusalem. Because if you end up in Jerusalem, it's not going to go well. So Paul gets the direct command from God, stay away from Jerusalem. Paul says, look, don't cry for me. I'm going to go serve God in Jerusalem. And the people that are around Paul, they just stop saying, we can't do anything with him. He's determined to go. He's determined to go. Now, here's the simple thought this morning. Paul's desire isn't bad. The relationship he has, he loves the people. That's not wrong. That's good. But that in itself, those things, when those things override what God clearly said to do, then that relationship becomes bad. I don't say it becomes bad. That decision, that influence becomes bad influence. And it's not to break off the relationship. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you and I, when we make decisions contrary to what God said, more times than not, it's because someone we care about has influenced us to make that decision. Someone we really love has pulled us in a direction, and our heart is so affected by them, we are willing to say, God, I know what you said, but I just don't care. I care more about this person than I do what you're telling me to do. That's Paul. And it's not, again, it's not a wrong relationship. It's not even a bad relationship. It's that his heart has been more affected to disobey God because he's so consumed with seeing his own people saved. And the Lord knows, when Paul shows up in Jerusalem, people aren't going to get saved. That's why he said, don't go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's not an open door like Ephesus is an open door. Jerusalem is no longer an opportunity. So here's what happens. Verse 14. It says, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Isn't that wild that you could have all those divine great motives and clearly disobey God when God said, look, stay away from Jerusalem. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to go out and see lost souls get saved, but I don't want you to go there. Now watch this. What do you think Paul ends up doing? He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. And in a matter of a week, there's no open door in Jerusalem. In a matter of a week, Paul is arrested. He doesn't get to preach. He doesn't get to lead souls to Jesus Christ. He's arrested. Acts chapter 21, look in verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. So he goes to Jerusalem. He does the offering. Verse 27. And when 7 days were almost ended. 7 days. I mean, he doesn't even make it a week. When the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. This is why God told Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. It's not going to be profitable. It's not going to be good. Paul said, you don't understand, Lord. I love these people. They got to get saved. Yes, Paul, they got to get saved, but you're not going to be the man to do it. These folks are not going to listen to you. And so he is in Jerusalem for less than a week. He gets arrested. And you know what the next, I don't know, 8 chapters of the book of Acts are? Paul jumping from trial to trial to trial, in prison, in house arrest, and just living out this decision he had made. And he goes to trial under Festus, he goes to trial under this, and it reads like, oh, it's so great. He's serving God in front of courts and all that stuff. No, he's suffering the decision he made. He's being put through trial because he chose to go to Jerusalem. And so all of these things you read the next 8 chapters of Acts are sort of a detour. And Paul will eventually finish his course. Thank God for that. You got that testimony. He'll eventually get done what the Lord wants him to get done and all that. But the detour, 8 chapters in Acts, of Paul being arrested, being bounced around from court case to court case, having to have lawyers involved, and then being put in prison, being taken out of prison, being on house arrest, just being, you know, on probation, whatever the case is. None of that had to happen that way. Here's the point again. Simple point, I think. But profound, I think. Paul has a good heart, a good motive, a good desire. But in the face of God's clear direction, he says, no. He says, no, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to preach the gospel. The people that I'm going to, they're just this close to getting saved. If I could just get a hearing with them, they'd get saved. And the Lord says, they're not going to get saved. They aren't going to listen. Moreover, when you end up in Jerusalem, it ain't going to be even a week and you're going to be in jail. And your ministry is going to be sidetracked. So here's the point in Paul's life, and Paul's an illustration of this. But it happens in our lives. Someone or something, generally someone, we love. We really, really love. And it's wholesome, it's good. It's a good relationship. But that relationship comes between us and the Lord. And then we spiritualize it. Lord, I want to serve you. I'm going to serve you in this relationship. I'm going to teach my friend how to serve you. I'm going to see him get saved. It's not going to happen that way. I understand you love him. I understand that there's a strong bond there. But there are some things, unfortunately, in our hearts that are much stronger than the Word of God. You say, how can anything be stronger than the Word of God? Well, just examine our lives. How much influence does the Word of God actually have on our actual lives? I mean, there are 100 things that have more influence on our lives than the words of God. Here's one of them for Paul. He loves Israel. He loves his people. And it's almost like it would be funny if it weren't so true to how we are. I mean, it's the Lord says don't do this, and we tell the Lord, but Lord, I'm going to serve you by doing this. No, you serve me by listening to what I tell you to do. You don't serve me by making up your own agenda and then telling me your agenda. You serve me by listening to what my instruction is. And God's instruction is not bad. It's not evil. And it's not just hey, do this and let's see if you do this. God gave Paul that instruction so Paul could avoid prison time. Stay out of Jerusalem, Paul. I understand you love Israel. You love your brothers and sisters and the nation of Israel. I understand that. But I'm telling you, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to jail. Paul said, well, nothing moves me. I'm ready to be offered. Well, Paul, I'm not ready for you to be offered. There's more to do. And if you put yourself in prison, we'll work around it, but it's just going to be tougher on you. So here's the point, and I know you understand it. There are cares in our lives that become, and they're not bad cares. They may be good relationships, but they become more influential than God's direct instructions. And I imagine maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking of some cases. Here's a way to think of that. If you can observe in your life or allow the Holy Spirit of God to observe in your life areas of disobedience, you could probably tie to those areas of disobedience somebody you love that you're trying to help, or somebody that you love that you're trying to, I don't know, you're just trying to do what you think is right. But you know, what you're doing is in direct contradiction to what God said. But you and I are willing to throw it back in God's face. But Lord, I want to help them. And the Lord's saying, look, I understand you want to help them, but you're not going to be the one to help them. You're not going to be able to do that. And in fact, I don't want you going there, Paul, because as soon as you get there, you're going to jail. I don't want you to go to jail. I'm not talking about you going to jail. Unless you're going to jail, I don't know. We're not talking about you going to jail. In Paul's case, that was the reality. Paul's going to show up there, and it wouldn't even be a week, and Paul's in jail. And then for 8 chapters, he bounces around from court case to court case, and his ministry is sort of hobbled. He can't travel like he did. We read some of this stuff, the shipwreck and all that stuff, and he's the greatest Christian that ever lived. And he stumbled, and he loved people so much that he disregarded what God clearly said. And he had such a strong connection for his own probably family members, his own nation, that when God said, don't do that, he said, but Lord, they got to be saved. Don't you want lost people to get saved? Yeah, Paul, I want lost people to get saved, but I don't want you to go to prison. The simple reality of it. If you and I are going to disobey God, a clear, direct command of God, the way we'll probably do it, is we'll spiritualize it. But I want to do right. I just want to do right. Do you want them to suffer? Do you want them to hurt like this? Do you want them to go through this? Because our hearts are so connected. They're so connected to this person, whoever it is, or these people, whoever they are. They're so connected that God's clear instruction, it goes in one ear and we say, Lord, you don't understand. I've got to go take care of these people. And the Lord's saying, no, you don't have to go take care of these people. In fact, if you do this, you're going to prison. I don't want you to go to prison. Care that is more influential than God's direct commands. So this is Paul's journeys, Paul's life. I don't know what would have happened to Paul if he hadn't gone to Jerusalem. I don't know, because that's not what happened. He went to prison. He went in and out of prison. Fortunately, the Lord still used him to minister and to influence and to help people, and which is a good thing. It shows you you're going to make some mistakes. Paul made a mistake. He wanted to make that mistake. He chose to make that mistake. God still used him after that. But he took a detour they didn't have to take. He didn't have to go that way. He didn't have to be used in the way he was used. He could have been used outside of prison, and I imagine. Fortunately, you do have 2 Timothy where Paul tells Timothy, I've finished my course, I'm ready to be offered, and all that. But the point of all of this is several years of Paul's life. I don't know how it would have turned out, how the rest of the book of Acts would be if Paul hadn't gone to Jerusalem. But he went to Jerusalem because he had such a strong bond, such a strong love for these folks, that even God's commandments couldn't get past him. He had such a, and I don't want to say misguided love, it's right to love people. But when God clearly gives you a commandment, that's the thing to obey. That's the thing to obey. And most of our lives in disobedience, if there's some disobedience, probably some area of disobedience, there's probably some influence, somebody we care about, somebody we love that we're trying to chase down, or somebody we're trying to help, or somebody we're trying to get them saved, or something like that, or whatever the case is. We got some spiritual reason for it, like Paul had. He had a spiritual reason for going to Jerusalem. But when God clearly says don't go, that should be all the reason you need. Simple point. You think about it in your own lives. I think about it in my life. Is there somebody, something, some relationship that you've got that's so strong that if God were to give you a direct command, you would turn around in God's face and say, God, you just don't understand. I want to help them. And the Lord's like, I understand you want to help them, but you're not going to be able to help them this way. Just listen to what I'm telling you. Think about it in your life. Think about it in my life. Because the people we care about and the things we care about are the things that are going to move our hearts. Obviously. And those will be the things and the people that move our hearts away from God's instruction. Not that they're bad people, not that the relationship is even bad. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying sometimes that influence is greater than God's commandment. And when God clearly says something to do, we say, well, but I love him. I just love him. But I want to see him saved. But I want to see him... You understand God knows all that, and he still gives the commandment. God knows people in Jerusalem needed to be saved, and he still told Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. You're not going to be the one to help them. He understood there's lost people in Jerusalem. There's people going to hell in Jerusalem, and he tells Paul, don't go there. This is not right for you. It's going to be bad. And you don't even get out of the chapter. Chapter 21, Paul's in prison. Next 8 chapters of Acts, Paul's in prison. Bouncing in and out of court cases here and there. So let's examine our lives. If there's some area of clear instruction from the Lord that we're turning a blind eye to because we care for someone, because I love them, because I love her, because of this or that. That's good. You ought to love them. But you ought to listen to God's commandments too. Let's pray. We'll have a little time of prayer here. And